I'd like to thank everyone for coming, for attending, for your support for this community, and for teacher, and for everything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Continue to help us if you can. Don't assign value. Whatever rises has its own value, its own intrinsic value, and it may be opposing to someone else, something else, but it's not better than that, not worse than that. It doesn't have a location, that location in value, or not so good, or better than this, or better than that, is something we impute. It's a way of talking about what the mind does when it wants a reference point. So something that arises carries its own value with it. If it arises in your mind stream, it needs to be there. No matter how negative it feels, no matter how much you think someone else caused you to have these feelings and emotions, don't assign value. In other words, another way of saying that is don't judge, but just saying Dharma talk over and over, just with a different talk title. And of course, if you listen to me very much here, you probably know what I'm going to say next is you can't really do that. You can't accomplish it because this person never assigns any value to anything. No, because that's more ego business, trying to be somebody else, trying to be someone who does not assign value, who takes no position, who gets a little bit of a credential for just being very objective about everything. Some people are extremely proud of how objective they are. And they're completely full of pride, self-centeredness. Don't even know it. I think I gave a talk not too long ago on invisible pride. That's the kind where you're full of yourself, but you think you're humble. Or you're full of yourself, but you think you're accepting and open-minded about things. They're not opinionated. Just to someone who's opinionated, it just looks like the truth. It's not my opinion, it's just true. Other people might not agree, but it's not just my opinion. It's just look at it, you see for yourself, it's the way it is. Don't assign value. And the process of seeing, doing that, as I said a few moments ago, is to watch how you keep taking anything that happens and give it a positive, negative, neutral, or all the nuance in between. How you have a position on things based on fear, possibly, based on hope of getting control of something, based on relative stuff. So insofar as you can, with your sitting practice of meditation, chicken tada, training yourself to watch whatever arises without adding, subtracting, dividing, interpreting, elaborating, nothing extra, if you can help it. And if you continue to add on when things show up, then just observe that. Everything becomes an object, becomes an awareness training if you understand what this teacher is saying to you. Whatever shows up is what you should observe. But don't assign value. Here's what shows up, and here's observing. There's no observer. There's nothing observed. There's just this. This has to be understood deeply before you can even make a statement like that. I didn't read that in a book. Or if I did, I forgot about it. But if something arises and you assign value, you cover up the actual value of it with your ideas, your conclusions, your judgments, which could all have a whole network of justification of right down to the constitution of whatever. Says right here that this and this and that did that and that means this and this and this. Not incorrect, could be quite relatively accurate. And if one has that kind of acumen or that kind of understanding, that kind of insight, you can constantly reinforce that self-centeredness because you're always right. Yeah. You just see things more clearly than everybody else, and you just know what is true and what's not true. And that kind of pride is not easy to see for the person who's full of it, but even quite hard to see to others if the person has a lot of logic or reasonability or is really, really convinced that they actually are right. It's not just their opinion, they think they're right. So what is the practice? Just observe and be aware of what happens when you add value. Be aware of how that arises. And when I say don't do that, as I've heard you hear me say a few other times, is that I know you can't stop or control that, but if I say don't do it, then you become even more aware. If you're a student, then you become even more aware of how little say-so you have about things, that added value comes out of a positionality or a fixation on something where you aren't just consciousness only. Your consciousness is fixated into somebody that thinks this or thinks that. Shouldn't be. That shouldn't be happening. And the world is constantly supplying us with all kinds of proof to make this group of people bad or wrong, and this kind of group of people right or correct or not to blame, however you want to characterize it, lots of ways. So we do it with the awareness, and we train ourselves to do this, not so much by looking at what's happening and thinking about it, analyzing it, and talking ourselves out of assigning value. But we watch the way we do that somewhat compulsively. Just things start to move in a certain way in an area, and that tends to trigger any kind of unobserved area of your consciousness. It starts to trigger that or resonates with that, then that immediately starts to cover up. Unless there's an awareness practice and a really strong one. And in that case, there's a little bit of a gap there where you're getting a flash of, it's just like you walk by an open door in your house, and you're walking along, and you look over and never realize there was a doorway there. And then it just disappears. But when you first see that doorway, it looks like a dark hole. That's happening in the mind stream. If that shows up for you, if you can, just observe that. If you can, don't react and run away. If you can, don't grasp with your fear and slam the door on it. Don't do anything with it. Just observe. Receive it. Receive this incredible world. Don't miss your life. Don't trudge around the rest of your life trying to feel better. The Buddha didn't say in the First Noble Truth, life is suffering, just to get you to believe what he said. He wants you to look at it, see it yourself, so that you can even say it out of your own seeing, your own understanding. I look at it all day long. It's not a bragging point, just true. Every time I look in anybody's eyes, I see suffering. I don't care how big they're smiling. Harrison, do you have a question? Any questions out here before I can continue, or I can respond to a question? So again, it's about practicing that, not about succeeding at it. The path leading to this understanding may be how you begin to be maybe slightly embarrassed by how much you continue to add packed stuff on top of everything. So you just see your idea of your world and your life or the culture. You alternate into that, but the culture thinks right and wrong. Should be, shouldn't be. They shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't feel that way. Concept, like many lectures to ourselves of should be, shouldn't be, and so on. And so when I say don't assign value, or you might say that to yourself, you might start out by saying, am I doing that? Am I, when something arises in my mind or across the table, in the other room, in the yard, in the neighbors, in your work situation, coworkers, maybe clients, and so on. Awareness. So it's awareness about that. And when I say don't do that, I know you can't do that. I'll repeat that because that's important, because it's not something you solve. But that's a way of getting you, so I say don't do that. That gets you to look at it so that you can do what? Observe what that is fundamentally, not just get on top of it and clamp down on it, fixate on it, and use the Western idea, macho idea, just stop it, shut it out, train yourself, be disciplined, get control of yourself. Good luck getting control of yourself. If you haven't looked closely at that, if you haven't meditated in only 2 or 3 years, you may not have run into that yet. This takes time to see how we want control. We might even think we can get control, or we think we've got control, and that is completely untrue. You cannot control this. I can move this from this side of the table, turn it upside down, and move it over here, and conclude that since I can do that, I can do a lot of other things. That's about as far as it goes. But if you see the way, when you look at that area where you're adding, you look at where you're assigning value, you look at that completely and receive that as it is, you begin to see that there's no solid person there. But just by watching that movement, and that's what is being pointed at. Very hard to point to that directly. You just about have to point to the activity of an imaginary self trying to do something. The activity of an imaginary self failing to do something for it to start to show up that there really isn't anyone there. You can't fail. You can't succeed. This is why the Longchenpa and other Dzogchen masters see this. And how do they teach it? Everything is perfect. It's the great perfection. You just stop going to war with everything. Stop going to war. Stop going to peace. Take no position. Don't assign value. And of course, the path leading to that understanding is seeing how you continue to object, agree. This is a good thing, assign value. This is not such a good thing, assigning value or taking away from its value, if you wanted to characterize it that way. Or turning away, shutting down. Just don't look at it anymore. I won't look at it. I just won't think about that. Right here. Yudao
Bowing, what is the intrinsic value in what arises in our minds?
The intrinsic value in what arises in our mind is we see that it is dependently arisen. And if you see it, it will break your heart. And you will jump for joy at the same time. Only nothing jumps and nothing breaks. It's just a way of talking about it. Sometimes because the masters down through the traditions want to share with you a little bit of what that's like, they refer to it as the great bliss. It's not an emotion. It's just a deep understanding of the complete perfection of what this is. That's available to you. It's not a goal. The goal is to save all beings, be with all things. More? You don't have any other questions? It's totally clear to you? You can write a book about it? You see what I'm saying? A little bit?
A little bit. The dependent origination is that is what we are looking at. That's the value.
Yes, you actually see that there are no separate things anywhere, that everything is the same, but not exactly the same. And it's different, but not exactly different. We're using relative words to try to talk about something that is inexpressible. Even trying to experience it, although some people talk about the experience of this and the experience of that, it's not been my experience. Meant to be funny. Of course, it's my experience. How else could I do this if I haven't experienced this? Pardon me. That's the only way I can do it if there's no experience. If there's an experience, it goes away. Experiences, here's one, shows up, gone. Anything you have as an experience in your mind stream, I don't care if it's some wonderful vision of enlightenment or Buddha fields, or suddenly you feel like you're melting into space, or you're turning into light and you have rainbows showing up in front of you, will not last. Now, if they come, hang out there for a while. But not everyone is going to have that kind of rainbow body go up? Is there a rainbow body? Find out. Don't believe anything I say or anything I don't say. Don't believe anything. Don't accept, don't reject, don't ignore. Michelle.
Shavine. Are we still receiving if we're seeing the shutdown for the pushing and the pulling? Are we still receiving that situation?
Yes. The area you would look there to see that when you receive, if you do shut down, then just watch the shutdown. Or if you are receiving something and you start to clamp down on it, just receive that. Don't improve. Don't try to be a person who doesn't clamp down. Just look at the clamp downs. Then that way it remains just awareness, just consciousness only. But if you try to do anything with it, then that part of the consciousness referred to as sometimes identified as the klesha mind or the seventh consciousness in the Yogacara tradition, that gets nurtured and validated so that it gets to continue to move along and torture itself and torture others based on self-centeredness. There's no self. Don't believe that, but consider it more. Okay. Hondo.
Hondo Bynes, what is it about watching ourselves grasp and reject and ignore that helps us see dependent origination?
Because if you just observe it and you stop giving yourself a hard time over it, or if you just observe it and stop patting yourself on the back about how wonderful you are and how you're finally making some progress, and if you no longer distract yourself from it, you just receive it, receive it, receive it, no matter how smelly, no matter how fragrant, no matter how brilliant, how dark, how, don't assign value. It carries its own value. It will be dark, it will be light, it will be brittle, it will be pliable, it will be, whatever it is. Receive it as it is. And slowly, over time, you notice that it's actually what it is, not what you add to it. And at the same time, it's what it is, not what you add to it, that you're looking at yourself. Because the consciousness doesn't belong to anyone, and the consciousness that has been covered up in your lifetime by hope and fear is starting to come apart. And that consciousness, which is looking back at you, and that consciousness that is looking at what is looking back at you, you see that those are not two different things. And you the self-centeredness just comes apart and melts because there's no support for the self-centeredness. You realize your true nature and realize you are consciousness only. And there's nothing but freedom. And it's not freedom from something. It's fundamental freedom. Nothing can catch you. Even death can't catch you. Can't find you. But you're no longer attached to this. And you're no longer rejecting that. And you're no longer what? Assigning value. It has its own value. And it's radiant. Or it's dark and dingy and dull and smoldering back behind the line of trees. And you don't even know what it is that's burning. And do you care? No. It's just burning. It has its own credential. It carries its own situation. This is why dependent origination is so difficult to perceive, because we think of it as everything getting together. And no, it's actually everything standing apart and having its own, what Tibetans have tried to talk about, the Japanese, the Chinese, self-existing, rongzhong. It's just that alone. And you actually become that rongzhong. Rongzhong Rigpe Dorje, the 16th Karmapa was named that. Rongzhong Rigpe, self-existing wisdom that is indestructible, is the translation. Not something you can get, but you can stop covering it up. Start now. Don't believe your thoughts. Don't believe your emotions. Don't disbelieve them. Don't. Like a donut shop. It's really funny. You should be laughing. You're pretty stoic today, aren't you? That must be from hanging around with that, with your little son. He's very stoic. I have to tell everybody about this. This is painful to say this, because sometimes parents just get in the way of their children's education. So, Rumi, if he can spell a word, then I give him a toy car. And I have a collection of about 15,920 toy cars. Actually, down to 19, and I gave him a car. So I gave him a word. Usually, you know, I might say, what word do you want to spell? And so today he said, cat. I was not buying that. So I said, pterodactyl. So I don't even know how to spell pterodactyl until I asked Google, and Google told me, so I was able to tell if he could spell it. But then, what did you do? Confess. Don't assign value.
I told him it started with a P.
You told him it started with a P, and he took it from there?
Pretty much.
Did he? So he got the last three letters correct without your help?
No.
T-Y-L?
He tried putting an I, and I said, what other letter might make an
okay, so yeah. I don't think you did as bad as I was first. I was first thinking you just told him how to spell it.
No.
Didn't do that. That was a pretty emphatic no right there. No. So, okay, you are a good mom. not assigning value. You provided me the value, right? It's a very interesting area to notice when you actually recognize the value in something and when you actually have added your own idea of the value to it. It can be very embarrassing when you realize that you rarely see the actual value of something because it's so easy to just stick that on there. It's just like putting a sticker on something. You know how distressing it is to see stickers all over things? It's just like, what's that covering up? I can tell you what it's covering, but I'm not going to tell you.
Azuka Banning, if you see the great perfection and you aren't assigning value, does a feeling of positive, negative, and neutral still show up with what's showing up?
Yes, and even more intense, because it no longer can, it's still scampering around looking for somebody. Yeah, dependent origination is ruthless about looking for a self. And it will keep checking in with you just to see maybe if you return to your stupid self-centeredness. But you haven't. You haven't. You just notice the emotions come and go. The emotions show up and they feel personal and they claw at your ribcage and you just watch them. You don't hook up your vocal cords or you put on your track shoes. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. You just, all the energy you have goes into receiving. And what's left of that is gratitude, gratitude. That you could even be a human being and stumble onto the teachings of this silent sage of the Sakyas, the Sakya clan. I don't know why they call him silent. He talked a lot.
Mizuku Bowing, so do you have to genuinely not care how you feel or not be self-centered to see the great perfection?
Paraphrase that. I want to hear if you know what you've asked me.
Do you have to see, thoroughly see no self to see the great perfection?
You can't really see no self, because there isn't a self. So therefore that seeing is a no see. I thought I'd start with that. So that way you will give up the search looking for something. All you have to do is receive. You don't have to look for anything. Give up the search.
Mizuka Banning, do you have to genuinely not care how you feel to see the great perfection?
The caring goes beyond not caring. It's either caring or is it not caring. It's called compassion. And it's not compassion for something. It's just compassion. So everybody gets a dose. More.
Not yet. Thank you.
Further questions? Yes, sir.
Yoko Bowing, a question from Martine. Is everything experienced in my mind just a reaction to reactions of others?
A lot of that is actions, reactions, just a circularity and story after story. But it's about, and it's about, just watch it. We'll try to shut it down. We'll fluff it up with explanations or elaborations. It's kind of like just get used to it. Just put up with it. There's another way. Eventually, it's not really putting up with it. It's just receiving it. Whatever shows up in the mind stream, consciousness is receiving that. And eventually, there's no receiver and there's nothing received. That's an ultimate, relative description of an ultimate understanding. Martin, where's Martin from?
Latvia.
That's right, Latvia. It's a long ways away. Yes.
Mr. Gubang, is there any relationship between the positive, negative, neutral that shows up with something and the value of that?
So the value comes up as its own situation, whatever it may be, value. So I'm not sure if I'm tracking what it is you're asking about, but it may be full of passion, it may be full of aggression, maybe full of ignorance, maybe a little of each, may have strong stories or monologue dialogues, or whole stories coming and going, full of passion, aggression, ignorance. So fundamental understanding is it's an illusion that we're no longer deluded by. That's why awakening and delusion are not two different things. If you really see delusion, you're no longer deluded by it. You see it's an illusion. This is awakening. You're no longer deluded by illusion.
Mr. Gubang, it seems like I assign the value based on the positive, negative, or neutral feeling that shows up. And then I might justify that value with a story after the fact.
Yes, good description. What's your question?
I've heard you say that most people are running around functioning out of believing their own thoughts. Is the belief in the positive, the initial feeling that shows up with something, is that what we're really functioning out of?
And the initial part is closer to actually being with what is happening rather than fighting with it, agreeing with it, or ignoring it. But it's still a path. You're still working with it. It's worse than that as far as feeling safe, being right. And it's better than that in that the reference points are starting to come apart. And if you have a teacher, if you have a teaching, and if you have a community, there's a good chance that can continue. But if one of those breaks down in some way, or you break it down, which is possible, then the path can start to go in circles. I'm right, I'm wrong, I'm right, I'm wrong, I'm right, I'm wrong. This shouldn't be, that shouldn't be. More?
Mr. Gubang, is part of our self-delusion thinking we are functioning out of our thoughts, or that we could get some control out of our thinking process?
Quite a bit. A lot of people who are scholars, because they're so smart, get into that area and they're so adept at working with things conceptually. And it's pretty impressive what some are able to do, but it's not awakening. It's just a high level of logic and reason. Not wrong, it's just it's not awakening. Awakening is awakening to what this is, not using your incredible skill at adjusting, pushing things around, or accomplishing this. That's why when I hear the word artificial intelligence, I can't help but snicker. Or Milky Way. I'm going to apologize for that.
I'm snickering.
You're snickering. You did it for me. So this doesn't take anything away from incredible logic and ability of these thinkers. It's whether they're Buddhist psychologists or thinkers or philosophers, just very adept. But the downside of that is they tend to settle for their acumen, their ability to think in that area rather than go deeper, go further into it, go into the darkness without a flashlight. Yes, sir.
Yoka Bowing, another question from YouTube from Spoolstring.
Spoolstring, I haven't heard from Spoolstring in a long time.
What's so painful about suffering, Bowing?
Okay. Spoolstring. What's so painful about us? What's so painful about suffering, Sovereign? What's so painful?
Can't stop it.
Can't stop it. Guys, have a good time. Make sure you take pictures, especially the ones from way up in that high tower that's on the back. Looking down. Yeah. And look out for the monkeys. Forgot to say. Say hello to Talia. I'm going to do that. Yes. You can't stop it. Anyone else have a one or two word or maybe even a sentence response to School Springs questions? A good question. Especially if you've been looking at it for a while. You have one?
I don't want it.
We don't want it. We're not something. That's the second noble truth. Is we the very second noble truth is the one that perpetuates the first one. Even if you look at it in a linear way, or if you look at it without the linear quality, it's just whatever happens, we don't want that. And so this creates suffering, but it compounds itself like the pages in a book. They just keep going. The first page comes down, that covers things up for 30 seconds, and then we go to the next one, that covers it up. Next thing you know, you have laminations of the second noble truth, not wanting it, not wanting it, not wanting it, not I don't want that, not wanting it. And so that gives us a little bit of a buffer that tends to build up the self-centeredness or the ego mind or reaffirm that. But you still have to face it. And when will you face it? When your body-mind complex goes back into the elements, goes back into fire, earth, water, and air, because that's what this is made of. And then the consciousness is, you could say it's released, maybe, but it might be still attached. So you might continue to be generating those stories, even though you don't have a body anymore. This is called the bardo, or the intermediate state. And there's no proof that that exists. But there's a good chance that it has a kind of existence you might call showing up in consciousness. Further question?
Shanyu Bowing.
Go ahead, Shanyu.
Is suffering inherently painful, Bowing?
Is suffering inherently painful?
Yeah.
Not fun. Apparently painful. What does he want to know?
Can there be suffering without pain?
Yes. Yes, but it's because the suffering is ignored or shut down on, or one distracts oneself away from it. But the consciousness that this is showing up in, you cannot get away from it. You can't escape it. You might be able to ignore it for a while, but it's temporary. And it can come back with, what's the word that's often used there, with a vengeance. It can come back with and just compound itself because you're ignoring it. I've seen this in myself. I've seen it in my students where if something is ignored, eventually it just starts to erupt and comes out of the, what's the other phrase, like a bat out of hell. It just comes raging out. Because it's been shut down, turned off. It would be very difficult.
Shani Bowing, is Shikantaza how to work with that ignorance? Bowing?
Well, not the only way, but it is a way. And it's powerful. You've been practicing that for several years. Sit down, hold still, and watch what the mind does moment by moment. And eventually that observer quality of consciousness starts to get stronger. The knot might start to get stronger too, but the observer part gets stronger. And eventually the observer aspect of consciousness, which is not a person, starts to see this. And there's different teachers talk about this in different ways. I've just used this image because it's what, handy? So a fist and a hand looking out, awareness. But then when the awareness gets worried, it clamps up. Well, to the person who is practicing the Dharma, if the awareness gets worried, it just continues to receive, 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 until eventually that awareness receives that knot in the center of your heart that is terrified, is worried, and quite often comes out, not out as I'm so worried, but I'm mad and I'm going to get any, kill anything or hurt anything or defend myself against anything that shows up that gives me a hard time or threatens me in any way, even the slightest threat. And quite often the threat, we generate our own threats. The threat on the outside is there, but quite often it's our own fear that does that. So I would say first noble truth, second noble truth. You could study all the four noble truths and go a long ways by contemplating those. Life of suffering, the cause of desire, the goal of cessation, and the path is train your mind, or Shila Samadhi in Prajna. Have a few minutes left if there are any other questions.
You were talking about the knot, that if we receive that knot, then what happens to that knot?
Just comes apart. That has to be received, and it's painful to look at that because we want to cover it up, ignore it, or we want to explain it, you know, or we want to take the suffering that's there and give it to somebody else at the end of a sword or at the end of a rifle. It can get that bad. It can get just horrible because there's so much suffering happening that we just have to ignore. We want to ignore. It feels choiceless. And is it? Probably. But that's why it's so important to receive. If you, everything is coming at you through all, just the first five sense feel, it feels just, they don't produce any sounds or sights or smells or tastes. They just receive them. And what those body orientations can do, excuse me, with the sixth sense consciousness or the thinking processing mind, it can, and also along with that and the seventh or the crazy klesha paranoid part of the mind, by just sitting down and receiving all of that all together, that you can train the thinking process, the sixth consciousness, and the seventh of the paranoid part of mind to receive also the same way you receive smell, taste, touch, the thing the body already knows how to do just by being a body. So this way we talked earlier about how to use the body. So I would, if you have a body practice, a few times I've tried to get that to happen here. I had a fellow here for a while who was teaching us Tai Chi and Kung Fu, but then they tend to leave. I don't know where they go, disappear somewhere. But we've had, who was it that was swinging a sword around here? Was that early? Didn't he have some kind of a, it was a body awareness practice that he was showing everyone? Anyway, I'm just saying that. Yoga is another one. We have yoga instructors here. Chazan's a yoga instructor. So we have a yoga studio. Isn't that what that is over there? Yoga studio? Is that a dance hall? Yes.
What I wanted to ask was, if this knot comes apart, then do we just keep retying it? Because it seems the same knot is happening.
We could, unless it completely collapses, then yes, we might. But that's what, when Koban's talking about translating the Heart Sutra mantra, Gate Gate Paragate Parasangate Bodhisattva, he translates that as falling apart, falling apart, falling apart. Nothing to do, everything all at once. But he's just basically, is that knot quality of the mind, there no longer is a center to anything with a knot wrapped around it. Imaginary self being protected by this fist of me, 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 and my stuff, and my ideas, and my emotions, and my feelings, and my fear, and so on. So I train the mind, and eventually that awareness starts to look at this. It takes a while for the introspection to start. At first, it's just you're looking at a wall, you're looking at how your knees feel, you're watching the mind come and go and produce all kinds of phantasmagoria, including the feeling you might be awakening. Awakening is not a feeling, nor is it separate from feeling. Jijin.
Jijin bowing. What is indifference on the path?
What is what?
Indifference.
It's a way that ignorance works, to be indifferent to something, someone, some situation, to not, this doesn't mean you have to go around and be make sure you look very closely at everything, but just it is going to show up situationally, where you, someone is having some different difficulty with something, maybe your next door neighbor or something, and you might be indifferent to it, even though they're struggling. So I think there's some indifference there. But it's so situational. It so much depends on you, your practice, how you've been raised, and all the things. You just can't list the incredible list of things that impinge upon your awareness, your practice. Some people are just naturally looking for ways to help people. And is that always, is that compassion? Not necessarily. Sometimes people want to fuel their identity of being a helpful person. So they might go into the helpful professions or trades so that they can feel like a helpful person. That does not mean they're enlightened. It doesn't mean that, also doesn't mean that they're not helpful. They probably are. Nurses, doctors, people in all of those areas can be very, very helpful. Maybe even more so if they also train their mind to see reality and function out of reality, which is dependently arisen, and there's not a separate self anywhere. Doesn't mean there isn't a lot of suffering. So that indifference can show up just on the path. It just shows up as a form of ignorance of the three poisons, just not caring about, being dismissive of it, I guess. Maybe there's other ways it could be described. Yes.
Rosuka Bang, you were talking about the body earlier. For me, the positive, negative, or neutral value that I'm assigning to everything shows up pretty viscerally in my body. Mm-hmm. Do we have to, in order to stop believing how we feel, do we have to not be attached to our body?
No. There's ways of working with that, just like Dogen, the founder of our lineage, the Soto Zen lineage in the 13th century, said, drop off body and mind. He didn't mean get rid of it, get rid of the mind or get rid of the body, but to see the attachment to the body and see the attachment to the mind and drop that off. And my way of talking about it, where you can drop anything, you have to look at the attachment. You can't just drop something based on concepts about it. You have to see the attachment. And that's not comfortable for the ego mind to see the way it's clinging to something, clinging to the mind and thoughts and ideas and emotions and memories and memories and memories, or to this body, how this body feels, identifying with a body, not being able to fundamentally experience pain without having a lot of chatter around it, why it's happening, why it shouldn't happen, all the stories we concoct, rather than just receive the pain. Welcome. I have more to say about that if there are questions around there. Chisho, go ahead.
Chisho bowing. Is it further on from what Mozuko was asking? Is it possible to see the clinging separate from the five basic senses of whatever is coming in?
Bye. So let me see if I understand your question. Is it possible to see the clinging separate from the five sense consciousnesses? So there may be some kind of overlap there. It's possible. But as I'm saying now, is it's necessary to just wash the clinging, not to try to stop it or release it. Just watch the attachment, to look at that and not validate or verify it or something like that, but to just see that. And whether that shows up in one of the sense fields, I think it probably could. but I might not be tracking what it is you want to know about that. I might be missing where your question is coming from. Am I?
Kishabhaving. Yeah, I sensed that a few times, but I don't know how to ask the question. Because whatever feeling shows up, let's say my breath is going in and there is a feeling of the breath going in. Is there that feeling without clinging on to that feeling of breath going in? Bye.
So so it is about the awareness rather than what shows up in the awareness. And if there's a clinging there, then that can also engender some feeling of not wanting that clinging. So there could be some kind of a very subtle push against it. At the same time, you're acknowledging that you have some clinging going on. I know I don't teach Tonglen practice or sending and receiving while riding the breath, but the teaching in that is when the breath goes out, that you give away all the goodness and happiness and love and health and everything that you have to others, and you see them all getting healthy. You might even see yourself not being so healthy. And then when the breath comes in, you take in all the garbage in the world, all the suffering, all the pain of others. I'm not against that. I practiced it myself for many years, and I just don't teach it because it's such an intense relative practice. And it's taught all over the places. So Shantideva taught it. Atisha taught it in the seven points of mind training. It's a big teaching in there of Tonglen. But after practicing it for a long time, well over 30 years, I decided not to teach that to people. And so I know you didn't ask your question about this, but it made me think of that polarity of sending and receiving. And when the breath goes out, this is how the goodness or the kindness goes out. And when the breath comes in, you take all the poison in. I don't think that's a good idea. Maybe some people can do that and actually not be contaminated by it. And other people, it could hurt them. But I'm not in favor of that practice. And again, I'm not against Atisha or Shantideva or any or Chogyam Trungpa or Pema Chodron or anybody else that teaches this. Please, they're your teacher. Just do as they say. Do as they say. But in the area that you're talking about there, I think it could go any direction in that area. That area of consciousness is able to just turn itself into something else in order to support an ego. So that's why it's so important, no matter what happens, is to don't go to don't assign value to anything. But just whatever shows up, receive it. Even though it may be a snake in the grass, just receive that snake and then receive a butterfly and then receive. So everything needs to be receiving. If you do it, here I am. I know you didn't ask a question about this, but this is what's showing up. If you go to the polarity part of it, like sending out the good stuff and taking in the bad stuff, that polarity, ego hears that and ego will make use of it. So I would say just receive. And then when you really, really receive everything that you receive, you'll know when it's time to do something out there, step into the world or move to the Gaza Strip. If you want to talk about a powerful move. And am I saying go there? No, I don't. Don't go anywhere. Stay here. Train your mind. Did I get anywhere near what you were looking for, or did I make it my own thing?
No, my question was not crisp enough. I'm not able to express it.
Okay.
Well, it'll come up sometime. Well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, sir. Maybe we can take another question. Is there anything else on YouTube?
Milka bowing, Sean bowing, and Sokazan asks Sokazan a question.
Well, can Sokazan ask Sokazan a question?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, the very first question I asked myself when I was probably three. Why did I come back here? That was my first question to myself. Thank you for asking me that. And I did not know at the time. I had no idea, but I remember that question very vividly when I was very, very young. But I come back here. And at the time, I didn't know where I'd come from, and I didn't know where I was. I think I was on a street called LaGrange, right west of here, I think it is. No, east of here. And I was living with my grandmother. Yes, sir.
Sure, Brian. Do you have an answer to that question?
Now? Yes. Save all beings. Starting with your ass. But I can't do it without your permission. I can't help you. And I can't even save you. That's part of the path of the Bodhisattvas, to see you can't do that. And why? There aren't any beings. But in order to get you to look at it, so you can try to save them, you receive or observe that vow. I vow to save all beings, or I vow to be with all things, which is a little bit more objective rather than subjective end of that polarity. More. Very good place to close. Thank you for your questions and for your attention, for participating in this Sangha and in this community. Come again if you can.
Hi, my name is Shoto, and I am a monk at Sokokoji, where I am committed to training my mind under the guidance of my teacher, Sokozan. We rely on your support for much of what we offer here. This includes building projects to create space for full-time and part-time practice residents. Thank you for your help.